listening to From the Friars Podcast, the community of Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, headquartered in the Bronx, New York City. Brothers and sisters, I greet you with the greeting of St. Francis. May the Lord give you his peace. Amen. There are some seats here in front for those of you who are standing. Feel free to come forward. There's a few spots. And those of you listening to us out in the upper shrine, hello. There's a whole group of people upstairs listening. Don't forget to come down during Holy Communion. So thank you. Quick question. Is there anyone here right now who received their sacraments or came into the church last night? Any newly baptized, minted Catholics? No. Okay. So last night, Brother Pius and I were at a local parish. We had been helping prepare a group of young people. We had a tremendous, beautiful, you know, the Easter vigil, and it was just, you know, baptisms and confirmations and First Holy Communion. It was just this big, beautiful thing. It was somewhere around 3 hours, right? And we get home, and I thought, wow, that was amazing. We were so, like, tired. And then one of my college buddies is a pastor of the largest parish in Columbus, Ohio. He had a four-hour vigil, 67 confirmations, 40 baptisms. And I was like, okay, you win, you know? And it reminded me in days of old, when I was living and serving in Yonkers, the friars, we were really good friends with the local Russian Orthodox Church, the Eastern Orthodox. And we would go for their Easter, which is typically on a different weekend than the Catholic one. And theirs would go for like 6 hours. All these beautiful hymns in Russian, and then it would end around 2:30, and then they would eat and drink like you've never seen. Like, wow, unbelievable. So we did have some snackaluyas last night. Those are Alleluia Easter snacks. Okay, the mystery of the midnight meatballs. All right. So we're a little wobbly today, but we're praising the Lord, huh? You know, this beautiful thing. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story, and as I'm telling you this story, you're going to be like, what is he talking about? Where is this going? All right. I will tie it in, so please bear with me. Okay. So right now, we are in the month of March, and there is this huge basketball tournament happening. And so, you know, March Madness, the basketball tournament. Brother Pius is a big UConn fan, and they're like, everybody's saying they're going to win it. I am a big Purdue fan. So I grew up in Indiana. So in Indiana, you know, religion was here. Basketball was here, you know. And I actually grew up with the head coach. And I just love Purdue. So it feels like Purdue and UConn are on the same train track heading towards each other. So I'm not sure. Brother Pius and I pray for us, okay? And Purdue is playing a little later today, 2:20. So please pray for them, okay? Now, okay, stick with me. So last year, Purdue was like the number one seed, a great team. They get to this tournament. They lost in the first round to a little nobody school, Fairleigh Dickinson, a little New Jersey school. Any Fairleigh Dickinson people here? Okay, yes, I was crushed. The next day after that game, I gave a talk at the Catholic Center at Fairleigh Dickinson. And I was like, why am I here? It was so painful. I kid you not, a year earlier, Purdue was the number one seed in their bracket. They got beat in the first round by another little New Jersey school, St. Peter's. Any St. Peter's people here? Okay, good. And I kid you not, the day after that game, totally crushed. There was a group of college students here, and after Mass, they were very friendly. Father, give us your blessing. I give them a blessing. Where are you guys from? We're students from St. Peter's. It's like, oh, I wanted to take the blessing back, you know, like, oh. So God is punishing me. Okay. So this year, the first round, we were so nervous. Like, everybody's like, is Purdue going to make it? Okay. So we're still in it. Okay. So pray for them. All right. Pray for them. Now, that definitely will tie in. Okay. So basketball. All right. So why are we actually here today? It's Easter. It is the resurrection of Jesus. And as I said in my greeting, this is the holiest day of the whole year. This is the highlight, Easter. The whole thing is built on the resurrection of Jesus. And I just want to highlight that in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in about 3 or 4 pages, they do a marvelous job pulling together all the details of Easter, of this whole thing. What happened? Jesus said he would rise on Easter Sunday morning. The tomb was empty, and they started having encounters with the risen Jesus. It's amazing. So first of all, just to note that this is a real historical event. This really happened. There is a date on the calendar, and there is a spot on Google Maps. You can go look in Jerusalem where it happened. The resurrection of Jesus, he was a real historical person. This event belongs to the history of planet Earth, that Jesus rose from the dead. It's not a fairy tale. It's not mythology. It is real. It's historical. It belongs to our history. And it's amazing. And it's beautiful. And yet, it's for me, it's not enough to just recount, okay, what happened? He was crucified. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again. The tomb was empty. The burial cloths were still there. People started, the church started encountering the risen Jesus. We need something more. I always want to know, well, what does this mean? What does it mean for us? You know, what's the takeaway? What does it mean? And this is where the catechism does a great job. And I'm going to summarize some of the main points. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus is the confirmation that everything he said and did was true. This is the ultimate confirmation that his claims, his teachings, and what he did, it's real, it's true. It's so true what the Lord said. Next, it is the fulfillment of the prophecies. Both of the Old Testament, there was prophesied that this would happen, and Jesus came as the Messiah. He fulfilled the prophecies. In so doing, he revealed that God had a plan. And that plan is fulfilled in Jesus, especially in the death and resurrection of Jesus, that the plan is fulfilled. It's also a confirmation of Jesus' divine identity. He claimed to be God. He did not claim to be a guru or an enlightened teacher or a philosopher. He claimed to be God. Jesus was God. Jesus is God. And the resurrection of Jesus is confirmation of that truth, that the Lord is God and that he's our Lord and our Savior. Next, the death of Jesus on the cross is the forgiveness of sin. The resurrection of Jesus is the offer of new life. And this is the aspect that I really want to focus on. What does this mean? All of these claims we read about in the Bible, starting with the letters of St. Paul, and then in Acts of the Apostles, that early days of the church, that this changed everything. And it was the forgiveness of sin, and it was the resurrection offering us new life. But what is this new life? So on the one hand, my friends, it is a historical event, the resurrection of the Jesus. And yet, at the same time, somehow mysteriously, it also transcends and surpasses history. It is a historical event, and also it, in many aspects, transcends and surpasses history. This is not just a detail from something in the past. This is something that has never happened before. And in this way, there's an interesting way in which the resurrection of Jesus is someone visiting us from the future. The resurrected Jesus is coming to earth as someone coming to us from the future. Now, I'm going to break that open for us because for me, this is the most mysterious and the most profound dimension of today's mystery. So anytime I talk about the, you know, future and time travel, you know, I'm a child of the 80s. I always think about this amazing movie called Back to the Future. You remember? So, I mean, anything dealing with time travel, I love it. You know, like going back into the past, going into the future, all of that. And it's an interesting movie if you remember it, or maybe if you don't. Usually you would say something like, we travel back into the past, or we travel forward into the future. But the name of the movie was Back to the Future, and the writing for this movie was amazing. Right? There were so many cool and interesting and weird things. Like this guy goes into the past. His parents, there's a story about how his parents met each other and fell in love. He messes it up. His parents are not falling in love. His mom's falling in love with him. It's so awkward. And this whole thing kind of plays out. And it's so funny and cool. And just the idea of time travel, I love that. Anyways, it's a movie. So here's the detail. One of the characters who's a little bit of a villain named Biff, the actor who plays him, is actually a practicing Catholic. And so this guy figures out how to get into this car that's a time machine. He goes to the future and he gets this book that has all the scores of the sports games comes back to his present life. Now, see, I told you this would tie in with basketball, okay, in Purdue. And he starts making all these bets because he's got this book from the future. He knows the score. And so he's, like, making all this money. He becomes really, really wealthy because he knows, like, who's going to win and all of this thing. So I remember thinking as a kid, like, oh, I would love to do that, you know? And so so there's the detail. My friends, now I'm going to pull it together. The dimension of the resurrection is that Jesus is coming to us in the future because Jesus reveals to us that his resurrection isn't just for him alone, but he will offer us his resurrection at the end. This is what's waiting for us, and that's the final point the Catechism makes. And so Jesus came to reveal to us what happens in the end. It's like we already know the final score of the game before the game even happens. The resurrection of Jesus is God's victory over death. My friends, do we kind of understand what this means? We are not going to die. People that you've lost, anyone here mourning the loss of a loved one, they're not dead. They are alive. Jesus came from the future to tell us what's waiting for us. He has defeated death through his death. There is no death. As Christians, we never say goodbye to anyone. It's always, I'll see you again. I'll see you again on the other side when we will see God face to face and we will see our loved ones who are in heaven. We will be together in the love of God. Are you ready for this? For eternity. For eternity. Not just a long time. For eternity. An existence that has no end. For eternity, forever, we will be with God and with each other in the communion of the saints and the angels. This is the new life that the resurrection Jesus offers us. It's a glimpse of the future, of what's waiting for us. It's not just more of this. It's something different. It is this, but transformed, right? The resurrected body of Jesus, it really was his real body. It was the same body that grew in the virginal womb of Mary. The same body that walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. It was the same body that was nailed to the cross and placed in the tomb. And yet also, it's somehow different. It's transformed. In the words of the Bible, it's glorified. It's a glorified body. It's divinized. His body still has the wounds. It's the same body. But Jesus won't die again. And he comes in his resurrection to tell us he's defeated death. And so here's the big takeaway, because when we hear these things, we may be thinking to ourselves, but yeah, things are still kind of terrible here sometimes. There's still a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. People are still dying. There's a lot of anxiety and fear and worry and struggle. And yet we hear all of these passages about Jesus and his victory and God won and et cetera, et cetera. What is it? It's what's waiting for us in the end. What's waiting for us? The victory is waiting for us in the future. In this life, we will have struggles and sufferings, but Jesus comes to us from the future to tell us that what's waiting for us is a place where there is no suffering, there is no pain, there is no sin, there is no more struggle on the other side. And what he is offering us is the complete and total healing of everything. My friends, everything we go through, our struggles, our sufferings, what's waiting for us is a healing. And that our suffering now has redemptive value. That we don't go through things for no reason, but we can unite them with the suffering of Jesus and they become redemptive. They become glorified. And this will be revealed when we're finally there in the end. Again, the resurrected Jesus brings us the news from the future. There will be no more sin, no more death. There will be no tension between people. All wounded relationships will be healed and reconciled. You know, anyone that you've hurt or anyone who's hurt you, that will be healed. That will be forgiven. Everyone in heaven is completely and totally head over heels in love with God and head over heels in love with each other. And you have to get there or you just wait in purgatory till you're there, okay? And it's amazing. It is beautiful. This is the whole foundation upon which all of our hope rests. All of our hope. rests. My friends, to people who don't have this faith, who aren't Christian, we are crazy to them, and we should appear crazy to them, because this is such a game changer. This is so different and beyond anything anyone would have hoped for or thought about. The resurrection of Jesus, the victory over death, over sin, over the effect of sin, the grace that's waiting for us in the fullness of life on the other side. This gives us tremendous hope. It gives us encouragement. It gives us confidence. In this life, we're on pilgrimage. We're just passing through. And we can live differently because we know where we're going. We know what's waiting for us. We know the destination. And we know that it's really true. The victory has already been won. And I have a hunch when we finally get there, we're probably not going to care about basketball. Okay, now I'm talking to me. Okay, you know. But my friends, there's so much that we give our care and attention to here that doesn't really matter. Huh? So many things that we give priority to, entertainment and sports and whatever, selfish pursuits. You know, none of that really is why we're really here. And so the resurrection of Jesus kind of refocuses us, reorients us. Like, why am I here? I'm here to be a living reflection of his love. You know, through prayer, through relationships, you know, we could be an instrument for good in this world. Our lives are so short. We're only here for such a small time. Let us make good use of the time that's given us, huh? To live our faith, to have confidence and hope, and to struggle and carry the crosses that we have to struggle and carry the crosses, but with a great assurance that the victory is actually already won. Jesus wants to share that victory with us. And when we finally get there on the other side, we will experience the fullness of redemption. And until then, we struggle and we move forward. And we thank the Lord for his grace. We thank the Lord for his victory, his love that conquers everything. And we give him thanks on this day. What can we say? Alleluia, praise the Lord. Amen.
Been listening to From the Friars podcast, the community of Franciscan Friars, the renewal. Please visit us at franciscanfriars.com or on social media, CFR_Franciscans.